SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for another hour of your favorite sports gambling show.
What is this going to be?
Moneyline.
No! Are you kidding me? I'm diddly D!
With the two best hosts to ever do it.
I love my contract. Love my teammates.
Donnie Wrightside.
Do what the Sixers did, Charlotte. Just win seven games a year for 4 years. Eventually, you'll find somebody, and you'll be on the upswing again if it works out in your favor.
And Kevin Walsh.
Let me tell you how crazy talented the NBA is right now. I'm not even trying to get into a debate. He's not even the most talented offensive big man in the NBA right now, in my honest opinion.
Are you kidding?
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
And away we go into the afternoon, the best hour of your day. It's Moneyline right here on Sirius XM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. I'm your host, Donnie Wrightside, today on a solo mission with a ton of topics to get to. And those topics that will start out with the hot topics. And by the way, sent out a tweet on X just a few short minutes ago. There's 16 games in Major League Baseball. What do you say we spend today handicapping? Because tomorrow is May. That's when the numbers really are in focus. And you say, well, Donnie, what's the difference between 24 hours? Trust me, it's May where the numbers come into focus. We are going to get after the 16 games tonight. There are really good options for RBI shots, even some team totals to take a look at. So we'll have some fun. Also, a deep dive into what I look forward to in Major League Baseball season when handicapping, the numbers I like to use, and how it pertains to today. Had some pretty good success last night. By the way, Alec Bohm continues to rake for the Philadelphia Phillies, man. That was a great option last night to get some RBI. He certainly did that and came through. A couple of the Dodgers had a big night, so things are looking on the up and up. But let's take care of some business right off the top here. News coming out, Ty Lue confirms Kawhi Leonard is going to be out for tomorrow's game number 5. No surprise there. Shame on you, even though the series is 2-2. If you thought the Clippers would be healthy in the playoffs, because they never are, and you thought they finally would be this year, it is what it is at this point. He's going to miss that game, which I actually like, because I bet the Dallas Mavericks to win that series, and also I bet the Cleveland Cavaliers to win their series. I already have a couple series locked up at this point, just waiting for two more so I can cash in a nice little ticket of roughly 6-1 on a couple of bets in NBA action in round number one. But what did we see last night on the court? The Celtics 102, the Miami Heat 88. And again, yesterday, Kristaps Porzingis. I mean, honestly, he might be the death of me at this point. Every time I try to take him to win a bet or be part of a bet, it seems like he's the guy that always lets me down. And the ones that hurt the most aren't that, man, this bum couldn't make any shots, because that's part of handicapping. The one thing you never look forward to, specifically outside of football, is, oh, my guy got injured, so therefore I could not cash a ticket. That was disappointing yesterday. Went on Bet365, used a 30% odds boost on a unit bet. Here was my bet. Jason Tatum to get 20 points, and boy, he barely got there. Scored 20 right on the nose, but he got there. Derek White to make 2 or more 3-point shots. Dude was lighting it up all night for 38 points, easily got that. Tyler Hero to make 3-point shots. He got that. And then there was Kristaps Porzingis to make two or more 3-point shots. Makes a 3-point shot, exits the game. We don't see him again. Misses the second half. And who knows what he's going to be back for the series, but quite frankly, they don't need him in this series because they're going to close that out in game number 5. So that was a little bit of bad luck yesterday that I had, which I thought I could have cashed a ticket, and it turned out to be a losing cause because why? Good old Kristaps out here in the streets couldn't make it happen for me. But we live to fight another day, understandable, and we move on. Now, the Celtics did hammer the Miami Heat yesterday, 102-88, which included the Miami Heat winning the fourth quarter by 8 points, but it didn't matter because they were getting hammered all night long. And the guy we just talked about who did make 2 3-point shots for me, Derek White, 41 minutes, 15 of 26 from the floor, which included 8 of 15 from 3-point range for 38 points. That is absolutely incredible, man. Absolutely incredible. But the Boston Celtics will beat you a multitude of different ways. Now, the focus is not going to be on can the Celtics win in 5 games against the Miami Heat. The focus of that is going to be how long is Kristaps Porzingis going to be down? Because they do need him to win a championship. Yes, they do. He is a great mismatch and has played great basketball with the Celtics, sort of fitting into that number three scoring role in the offense. Need me to hit a three-point shot? Got it. Need me to catch a couple oops? Got it. Need me to get some rebounds? Got it. Block shots? You got it. Kristaps Porzingis has been very good for the Boston Celtics. That's going to be a key ingredient to watch. I would go over the Thunder-Pelican series with you guys, but I was bored out of my mind, and I told Ben this morning on the early line, I didn't watch one live minute of the Thunder-Pelican series. Not one single minute. Why would I waste my time on that? Sweep by the Thunder over the Pelicans. It's what should have happened. The Thunder, the number one seed, moving forward here. Good job for the Thunder. That's all we need to spend. But how about this one? Lakers and the Nuggets. 108-106 final, Denver Nuggets. Once again, Jamal Murray at the gun puts the Lakers away. That's a tough scene. Normally, you look at series like this, right? A gentleman sweep in five games and say, well, the other team really didn't put up too much of a fight. That wasn't the case. Like, honestly, the Lakers could have won in a gentleman sweep in this series if they just made a little bit more clutch plays than they had, where the Nuggets seemed like they were coming up with every fresh clutch play you needed in that series, which includes Jamal Murray. But let's not forget about Nikola Jokic yesterday, people. 25 points, 20 rebounds, and 9 assists. That's absolutely incredible. He just misses on the triple-double, but we're talking LeBron James here. 30 points, 9 rebounds, 11 assists. People say, oh, it's his fault they didn't win. Yeah, look, superstars are always going to take the blame here. But LeBron James played very good in this series and was very good this season. And he will be 40 years old by the time they are playing midseason next year in the NBA. That's incredible. But the questions now come up, where is he actually going to play next year? Where does he fit in? Could he move teams? And also his son, Bronny James, if he elects to go pro, LeBron, as we know, would like to play with his son. We'll see if that happens. But we gave opinions on the early line today on where LeBron James should actually play and should he leave. We actually had to fade the public poll, and the majority of the poll thought LeBron James would be leaving Los Angeles. I don't believe that. I don't. LeBron has a couple more years left. He's already centered out in Los Angeles. Where is he going to go to improve his legacy? Are you guys telling me right now? Well, I'm talking even to the LeBron haters out here. Yeah, he's never going to catch Jordan. All right, so let's just say he goes to the Phoenix Suns on a mid-level exception and plays with Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker. LeBron James stays healthy, Jukic Nurkic, and by the time they end the season, he wins a championship and maybe stays. Let's just play devil's advocate here. LeBron goes to Phoenix and wins 3 championships. Eclipses Michael Jordan. He's the best of all time. It's not even close because apparently we only count rings. Nobody's going to believe that because they're going to say, no. LeBron had to leave Los Angeles and he went with a super team and got championships here. See what I mean? He can't win either way. Relax. It's great weather in California. His family's already there. They're in schools out there. It's got good weather in L.A. A lot of business ties out there. Stay with Los Angeles. I don't know if it's going to go to another championship run for the Lakers like they had a couple years ago in the bubble. But Anthony Davis and LeBron James do have a ring. I don't know who you can bring in to make it better because, quite frankly, the West is so tough. And also, you have more games played for Anthony Davis this year than any time in his career. That's not happening again next year, guys. You know this. That's not happening. Flip it over to what could take place and who they could add next year. And then look back at LeBron James, who I said is going to be 40 years old next year during his NBA run. Are we thinking he's going to play like 70 games next year? That ain't happening. And also, one of the bigger points here on LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers, it wasn't as if, man, they were the number one seed and just got upset in round number one. That's tough. No. They're a perennial play-in contender at this point. They were in the play-in tournament to get into the playoffs just to face the Denver Nuggets once again. See where I'm coming from at this point? A lot of things went really well for the Lakers this year for them to be a play-in team. I don't know who else they can get. The salary cap ramifications as they go around, we'll certainly find that out. But tomorrow is May, and that's when the gambling gods tell me, yes, sir. Time to go full tilt on some RBI props. But next, after the commercial break, we're getting into it. Let's start handicapping, baby. Sonny writes on a solo mission right here on a Tuesday on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here on the Sports Grid Network. It is a Tuesday afternoon. I'm Donnie Wrightside, and we are about to handicap some Major League Baseball. 16 games on the card today. Who loves that? Did I say it right?
16 games on the card today.
Absolutely. I can't wait for this. This is a really good day, too, because we have some afternoon action, which I think we're going to be able to get some RBI action to go. Yesterday, it was a little bit hit or miss for me. Had some good shots yesterday with Alec Boehm. Had some decent shots there on some RBI shots with the Dodgers. Did miss on a couple. I'm trying things out, too, because here's what I'd love to talk about. When we go over and say to ourselves, you know, how are we going to make money on RBI season? I'm always looking for different ways to sort of account for, okay, I like what I got, but I think I can expand on something that I believe is good. So the question to me this season is, which way to go about it? And it might be a little bit of a learning curve, because there are ways that I love. Round robins I fell in love with last year, and I think you can make some money with them. If anybody doesn't know what a round robin is, it's really a glorified parlay that gives you chances to win even if some of your bets don't win. Case in point, take a three-team parlay. Win game A, win game B, lose game C. Get no money. In a parlay again, win game A, win game B, win game C, cash in your ticket. See how that works? But with a round robin, they ping off of each other, right? So if you take a look tonight and say, I want St. Louis, New York, and Colorado as my three teams tonight. St. Louis wins, New York wins, and Colorado loses. You're still going to win money tonight based on the odds that you bet between New York and St. Louis. So let's just say you're taking a three-team round robin, right? That three-team, and let me punch one up real quick, because I always like to give ideas, because I know people ask a lot of questions like, hey, man, I see you do round robins. Does FanDuel offer round robins? Yes, they do. I don't think I've ever done one on DraftKings, but I'm sure they offer it as well. But I use Bet365 for the most part on this shot. So let's go to Major League Baseball tonight, and we'll take a look, and we'll go all dogs with this. So we'll go -1.5 New York Yankees, -1.5 Miami Marlins, and -1.5 with the Toronto Blue Jays. So in effect, it's a three-team parlay that you could bet. If you do it as a parlay, Yankees minus, keep it simple. Yankees run line, Marlins run line, Toronto Blue Jays run line. That's a +1428 parlay if you do that. That's pretty good, right? It's a good payout. But again, if you see the Toronto Blue Jays take a loss, then the whole parlay goes up in smoke there. Doesn't matter. So when you take a look at a round robin, and it's a round robin by twos, let me just change this up here. There we go. And a round robin by twos, here's what we get out of this. Ready? So let's put in, you are going to do a round robin that's worth $75. So it's a three team, I should say, or player, if it turns out to be a prop, round robin. $75 wager at this point is what that's going to be. So if we take a look and we risk $75, and we again, we're using the Yankees run line, which is a +135. Marlins run line, +155. Toronto Blue Jays run line, +155. So 135, 155, and 155. Once again, if you parlay them together, it's basically 14 to 1 is what you're looking at. But on round robins here, if you play this and you sweep, you still get the ability to have all three of those games cash. Now, it's not going to be as much as a parlay because you're risking all three together. But let's just say you win this and you say, I get two out of three. So you go 1-2 selection, which is the Yankees and the Marlins tonight. $25 parlay is essentially what that is. That $25 wager at close to 5-1 pays back $149. So no matter what, right, you risked $75 total on this wager, and you won $149 back. Now also, if you hit all three of these wagers, Yankees, Marlins, and Toronto, your return is $149, $149, and $162. Not bad at that point right now. Let me get my calculator out here. Let's see what that pays out. So let's go roughly $150 plus $150 plus $162. $462 is what you would make back on that number. Not too bad at that point, right? So that's why I like it, because if you say you have three solid, and typically for me, round robins work the best when everything is plus money. And you can use this, guys, in any genre that you have. I really like to use it during the NFL when you're taking props. Let's just say you're climbing the ladder a little bit. Saquon Barkley, the Philadelphia Eagles, his rushing prop is 62.5 yards. You bump it up to 70 yards. It's a plus 115 price. Okay, so that could be one there. You take a look at A.J. Brown of the Philadelphia Eagles. His receiving prop is 60 yards. You bump that receiving prop up to 70 yards, plus 115. You get the picture here, right? Do it again with Jalen Hurts, where you figure he's going to throw for 225. You bump it up to 250, plus 125 at that point. So it's all three of them. You can use that in baseball. You can use it in basketball. Anything you want. It's a very good thing to learn. It's almost like the equivalent of guys sometimes when you say, man, first time in a casino when you're young. You're 21 years old. You're ready to gamble. Craps looks like a fun game, but boy, is it intimidating, because you don't want to step to that table, not understand what you're doing, have the stick men, the dealers look at you, and the players around the table. This guy's holding us up. What's going on? He doesn't know it. Trust me, once you can take that leverage and stand up to that table and learn that game, you will love the craps table for the rest of your life. It's the same way for round robins. It just sounds like, I'm not dipping my toes. Now, I don't even know what that actually means. Well, I'm explaining it to you here. It's a better form of a parlay that if you don't hit all lines, you can still win money. But if you hit all of the lines, you get paid a great amount of money at that point. So it does make some sense. Now, the reason why I brought this up is I wanted to explain, obviously, what a round robin is. You can have multiple round robins, guys. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 legs, but they do get expensive because you're pinging off every single one. Like, let's just say you have five different games. So instead of going three, you go five. Well, one matches up with two, one matches up with three, one matches up with four, one matches up with five. You get the point here. They're expensive wagers. So you might be having a total of 25 to 35 wagers for 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 round robins. So it can get expensive where if you say, hey, I got 10 RBI props I want picked out, and you say, okay, what's it going to cost me to pump in $1? It might cost you $300 on that $1 wager. But the payouts there, again, they're ringing off of each other. The more combinations you put together, the more money you're going to make. Again, backed on the premise, you don't have to win every wager like you do a parlay. Round robins make sense, people, as long as you're betting underdog prices. Remember that. Now, let's get to the Major League Baseball card here. Let's start handicapping and putting some of these guys and teams together where we feel we can make some money this evening. It's an afternoon full of action right here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Donnie Wrightside, and we will be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Get right into it. Major League Baseball card tonight and have some fun. 16 games on the slate. Let me start with what we start to look at here in the month of May. And the pitching matchups technically are in. If you had a perfect sweet spot, it's probably June and July, more than, let's just say, May and August and September. Things do to change. Prices get a little bit out of whack. Some teams aren't really trying to win. You get the point here. But if we go over today, right, and look at the card itself, let me take you into a little bit of some of the websites I like to use. FanGraphs. If anybody hasn't used it before, it's wonderful. You know, I always recommend websites that I think work for me, and I like to always teach out there. So people say, Donnie, what do you look at? Or what some of the insight, and help me out on this? Because we've all been there before. We've all been handicappers. We've all sat back and say, boy, I wonder where he gets his numbers from or what he actually likes to look at. This is the fun of being on the radio and national programs where you can share this information. The goal is to make more money and hand it off. Now, granted, how you interpret the same statistics as myself, they're always going to change because there's so many statistics out there. And for me, saying, well, Donnie, how did you learn this information? Well, you sort of hear about it, but also it's a lot of trial and error on your part. It's what you like to look at, what fits your eyesight, because there are a ton of statistics between fantasy statistics and just hard number analytics, right? Some people might still be using ERA. Some people use XFIP, XFIP minus, Sierra prices, ERA minus. You get the point here. There's a lot of stuff. So what works for you? Now, here's how I do it. If you're on FanGraphs, now granted, if you guys are driving around in your cubicle at work, you know, it's not something that you want to do on the fly. Now, if you're getting it on the podcast, you can slow it down. It's pretty simple. If you go to FanGraphs for me, there's a couple tabs at the top of the screen that you look for. Support, fantasy blogs, projections, score standings. You see them all up top. If you go to the side that says scores, the tab, I should say, and go to probable pitchers, that's going to list every pitcher on the card today, which technically it lists 33 of those. I don't care about 33 of those for the simple reason is I'm trying to get a cutoff point of around 20 innings pitched, which, by the way, one of the worst pitchers on the card today would be Hunter Brown, which we're probably going to be fading anyway, but he's only got 17.2 innings under a count this year. So you really can't say, hey, he's got exactly enough numbers to use. He doesn't show up on the list I actually want to use today, but I still feel that you should be fading Hunter Brown. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But also, it gives you the ability on some of these websites, which include Fangraphs, to actually tailor to what you want to look at. So right now, it's bringing up everybody pitching today with no minimum on innings. Some guys have 38 innings, some guys have 25 innings, 13 innings, 11 innings. You get the point here, right? Sixto Sanchez of the Miami Marlins with 10 innings is showing up. He won't come up next because when I put in minimum playing time, I go to 20 innings pitched, which then limits those 33 pitchers down, as it says it's loading right now, down to 25 pitchers. So now it's saying, okay, I'm not getting a guy that's, boy, he's really bad, Donnie. Yeah, he only pitched 3 innings here. He gave up 2 home runs. Of course it's going to show he's really bad. Is he really that bad? We don't know. But as the season moves along, you will now adjust that to 20 innings and 30 innings and 40 innings and 50 innings. Now, granted, as the season goes along, I adjust those numbers based on the time. Because if you're betting on a pitcher, should I say fading a pitcher, in August, what do you give a damn about what he did the first week of April or first 3 weeks of April? You care what he did for the last 60 days. That's really the rolling time frame that you also want to use on hitters. Because, look, it's cyclical in baseball. You might open up red hot throughout April and May and cool off in June. And then you're betting numbers in July based on what this guy did in April. You can't do that. You got to always be adjusting your numbers here. That's key. So if we're looking from a pitching statistic today, the worst pitcher on the card today, Chicago White Sox, Michael Soroka. 29 innings pitched. And take a look at this. The number that I really like to use is the xFIP minus number, which gives you an idea of ballparks, league average, and gives you that analytical approach of xFIP, which is obviously fielding independent pitching, but it's adjusted there for you. So it gives you the length of, I don't care what happens behind me, just give me the level of what that pitcher is actually doing in the moment. Strikeouts, walks, hit by batters, fly balls, right? Because the more fly balls you give up, the more chances for home runs. And xFIP minus runs just like on xFIP xFIP minus, like it would be FIP minus and ERA minus. I know it sounds like a lot of jargon, right? Just trust me on this. xFIP minus is a number I use that's based on 100. For a pitcher, anything above 100, that's bad. Anything below 100, that's really good. And how high you get above 100 could be really bad. Like Michael Soroka's at a 149. He's 20 points clear of the second worst pitcher on the card today, which is Alex Wood. So Soroka would be a focal point here. Goes all the way up to, you know who's the best pitcher on the card today? Guy's got a 4.9 ERA, and he's the best on the card today. That's Jack Flaherty. Take ERA, people, out of the equation, and you will make money in 2024. Just wanted to get that explanation out. Now let's get to some of the handicapping. We got a half hour to go and a lot of games to get through. Let's see how many we can do. Donnie Wrightside right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's get after here. Have some fun handicapping. Just told you the worst pitcher on the card today for my number is going to be Michael Soroka. Now, we have that cutoff. Like, that strike point to go against a pitcher and fade him is like 120 for an xFIP minus number. Again, graded on a 100 scale. Anything above 100 is bad. There's a couple guys above 100. Take a look at Javier Assad, Mitch Keller, Jose Barrios, Yu Darvish, all around that 101 to 107 number. But we're going to focus on the bottom five. That's Soroka, Wood, Anderson, Alexander, and Carrasco today. They're all above a 120 xFIP minus number. Carlos Carrasco of the Guardians, Tyler Alexander of the Rays, Tyler Anderson of the Angels, Alex Wood of the Oakland Athletics, and Michael Soroka of the Chicago White Sox. Now, taking a look at this, here's where the analytics should drive. Now, typically, you're going to have a high ERA, right? if you have bad analytics, which means you're giving up a lot of home runs, a lot of runs. They sometimes mesh. But every once in a while, it goes opposite. If I'm looking at the card today, like Ronaldo Lopez has been tremendous, but he is pitching and getting a little bit lucky with a 92 xFIP minus number. He's got a 0.72 ERA on the season. You take a look at other guys out here, right? I just told you the best pitcher on the card analytically today for me is Jack Flaherty. His ERA is close to 5. It just lets you know that he's getting unlucky at this point. His Sierra number is a 2.69, which is flat out phenomenal. But if you look at the bottom five here, 1.78 ERA, that's Tyler Anderson. He's third worst on the card for me today out of 25 eligible pitchers. You say, Donnie, make it make sense. And I will, because you're taking a look at a guy that doesn't strike a lot of guys out, a little bit too many walks. Batting average against him here is really low, which means that batting average with balls in play, he's getting lucky. Left on base scenarios, he's got 95% of the guys left on base. Sooner or later, you put traffic out there, they're going to score. And he's got a 127 xFIP. So let's focus there on Michael Soroka tonight, Chicago White Sox. That game is going to take place here at 7:40 p.m. 71-degree temperature here, wind blowing in lightly out of right field at about 5 miles an hour. If we take a look and focus on Michael Soroka, what does he do well, guys? Absolutely nothing. If we're looking at the analytical numbers in the anticipation of the xFIP minus, I just told you it's off the charts bad, which sort of matches up to what he's been doing this season. 133 batters he's faced. A total ISO of 243 if we combine it with lefty and righty batters. If we take a look at the weighted on-base percentage, it's 391. Both of those elevated here. ISO power numbers, once again, guys, 165 to 170 or higher for a pitcher. That's getting into the dangerous territory. Soroka's at 243. Weighted on-base percentage, right around 320 to 325 or lower for a pitcher is where you want to be. He's at 391. If we balance it between lefty and righty batters, keep in mind Soroka's a right-handed pitcher. Left-handed batters, a 399 weighted on-base percentage. Righties, a 382. ISO power number between lefty and righties, for lefties, 224. Righties at a 263. Elevated across the board, it almost looks like it's open season. But you still do have to have the batters to match up against pitchers like Michael Soroka. So if we're looking here, the first five batters in the lineup, guys, makes sense tonight. You look at Alex Kryloff, left-handed batter, 205 ISO. 350 weighted on base percentage. Carlos Correa coming back into the lineup today. He's got a 437 weighted on base percentage against right-handed pitching. Edward Julian, a 306 ISO and a 369 weighted on base percentage. Ryan Jeffers, 267 ISO, 405 weighted on base percentage. Trevor Larnach, 320 ISO and a 465 weighted on base percentage. That's tremendous here. So you got the first five batters in the lineup legitimately. I can't talk you off the ledge and even tell you, Donnie, which is the two best guys to actually bet in this spot? All five of them seem absolutely legitimate. Now, as I was talking to you before, when you're lining up these RBI props, you can go with all five. Like, again, you probably, if you take all five, there's not really chances that you're going to make money with that, considering that you probably need at least three out of the five to hit. Sometimes that's tough. But I can't think, you know what, I'm just going to go back to back. Go Julian in the three hole, Jeffers in the four hole here. Two hammers with runners that should be on base. One of those guys is probably going to cash in. And I can't disagree with that. So if I go to Bet365 and take a look at some of these player props here and look at the RBI action, if we go to Minnesota, there we go. All right, so let's take a look at Larnach first. It's a plus 160 price, man. Pretty good in the five hole here, hammering away. Ryan Jeffers, the catcher. Let's see where he's at today, if he's on the board. Looks like we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So some of these guys might be left off. I don't see Jeffers on the board just yet. So let's go down to Julian. Julian is at, listen to this, guys. Edward Julian is due up tonight in the three-hole. Now, granted, we don't have the official lineup out yet. But a three-hole batter that's raking against right-handed pitching and Soroka being bad, that's a 2-to-1 price to get an RBI to Julian in the three-hole if that's where he's batting tonight. Carlos Correa, plus 140 price in the two-hole. Alex Kryloff is a plus 160 price out of the leadoff spot here. So let's just say you take Larnach out of the equation, who was supposed to, actually Larnach's in there. Who do we take out? It's Jeffers. Jeffers is out. So we'll go fifth hole, third hole, second hole, and one hole. Four guys, plus 140, 200, 160, and 160. All great prices that I can't talk you out of who's actually better than the others. So theoretically, if you're just like taking those numbers in, you're going to give me Julian at the 2-to-1 price. Like, if he's going to bat three hole tonight against a bad pitcher, which you think Krylov and Correa will be on base, that's fantastic. That's a great price. That's somebody that probably should be on your board just from price alone. Now, if we try to put the equation together of what you want to bet on, and you wanted to say, Donnie, I would like to do a round robin. You can't do a round robin in the same game. So they don't let you do that. Now, granted, if you wanted to take, let's just say Correa and Julian and put them in a larger number of bets here, if you were going with the round robin, they can't ping off of each other. So let's just say you did a three-team round robin. We'll make it simple for you guys. Correa, Julian, and Bryce Harper. If you get Correa and Julian to both get RBIs and Harper doesn't get one, you lose that entire bet. You say, Donnie, why? You just told me. You can lose one of those as long as you win two. Keep in mind, in round robins, you can't ping players in the same game off of each other. It's just the rule that they have. Otherwise, I'd be doing this left and right. Like, are you kidding me tonight? Are you? If we could have went Correa, Julian, Krylov, and Larnach tonight, plus 160, plus 160, plus 140, and 2-1 in the same game against a bad pitcher, man, we'd be taking down casinos left and right, but they don't let you do that here. So you would have to separate those in the different ones, or you can put all four of them in and Bryce Harper. You just better hope that Bryce Harper gets one so at least he can ping off of those four players, because you could theoretically go with a five-team one there, which again would be five players, four of them all cash. And Bryce Harper doesn't get an RBI, you get no money out of it. I know it sounds unfair, but the teams and the players, they can't ping off each other if they're in the same game at that spot. All right, so I just wanted to lay out the game plan. The Minnesota Twins is something that you want to look at tonight. Now, secondary options on what we actually like here. And the reason I'm going to bring this up is I'm trying to figure out a way that makes sense where I've always been a team total guy as well, but RBI, so much plus money, so much fun to bet on a night-to-night basis. And theoretically, you go 1-1 in most situations, you make money. You don't do that. It's like, hey, man, I got one bet at minus 145, one bet at minus 130. You split, you're losing juice. In the RBI realm, it's all plus money. So you just need, theoretically, sometimes you got guys at plus 250. Like, give me 1-1, and boy, we had a really good night all the way around, and we went 1-1 at that point. But I'm trying to figure out the thought process behind, and I tried it last night and actually took a loss on it because I lost by a half run in one of those games, which was actually the Arizona Diamondbacks. I needed them to get 4.5 over. They only got 4 yesterday. And by the way, they had 4 runs by the end of the 5th inning off the Big Maple. So technically, it was a good handicap. They just couldn't hit the bullpen yesterday. But if we slide up and say, all right, let's take a look at team totals here in this environment. So we'll see what we have. Let's go to team props here. All right, alternative team totals. You can start at 0, or it's actually a half of a run, all the way up to plus money at 9.5 runs, which for the White Sox would be 12-1, and for the Twins would be 9.5 at plus 625. So tonight, if you're looking at a regular statistic, 4.5 minus 130 is really the prevailing number. So the Twins to get 5 runs would cash their team total. Here's what I'm trying to figure out. If we can pick on the bottom pitchers and not actually do RBI prop shots, like let's just say you say, Donnie, you know what? I'm going to run a system here throughout the summer. Give me fade of Tyler Anderson, Alex Wood, and Michael Soroka today. And you take plus money, which is, let's just say the Twins, I told you, is a 4.5 number. Bump that to 5.5 at plus 125. And let's just keep that number static. 5.5, 5.5, 5.5 at all plus 125. I'm going to talk about this and the way I think we can make some money on this throughout the summer. Come on back. Let's keep on capping Major League Baseball.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I know we probably need a bigger sample size, right, than just maybe a couple weeks, but we're going to be adjusting some of these numbers. And as I was talking about before the break, the round robin theory on taking team totals in Major League Baseball. So if we look and say, just based on Fangraph stuff, the XFIP minus numbers, if you're taking guys in that 120 or higher number, and forget about the individual RBIs themselves and just take the teams, because as long as you're scoring runs, it doesn't matter. So if you take a look and say, Donnie, I had Krylov and Julian tonight, and none of them got RBI, but Buxton, Kepler, Castro, and Santana got them, guys that we aren't looking at, who cares? You're still going to be able to cash tickets. Now, if we go Michael Soroka, fade, Alex Wood, fade, and Tyler Anderson, fade, anticipated pitchers tonight, if we're looking at taking plus money on those teams. So it would be the Minnesota Twins team total over 5.5, which means 6 runs to cash that ticket. The Pittsburgh Pirates tonight against the Athletics. The Pittsburgh Pirates listed at 4.5. That's the plus money number at plus 125. The Philadelphia Phillies taking on the Angels tonight, plus 135, would be at 5.5. So you got 5.5 on the Twins, 5.5 on the Phillies, and the Pittsburgh Pirates at 4.5. If you get all 3 of those legs tonight in a parlay, it'd be close to 11-1, which is a nice price. But again, if you just use the round robins by twos, which means one bet pings off another one here, $25 per round robin. So it's 3 teams times 3. It'd be $75 as your investment. Now again, you don't have to sweep all 3 games. If you do, it's going to pay out at a nice price. But let's just say you're going with the 75 and you hit 2 out of the 3. Well, you're at least going to get back the low amount of $126. So if you invested $75 minus $126, that's a $51 profit. If you hit 1 in 3 selections here, which is, you know, different odds based up, it's $132. If you hit all 3 together, it would be 126 plus 132 plus 132. So that'd be a win of $390 based on a $75 investment. But again, you're just looking for the 2 to get the plus money and move forward at that point. I think it can be fun, and I do think it'll be profitable. I'm going to track that system by myself alone just to see what happens, because I think it makes sense. Anytime you can get plus money numbers here, use the round robins, because you can get that lottery ticket if they all hit, but you just need to get a few of those to come in, and you don't have to be perfect, and you still cash in a ticket with plus money. Love myself some round robins here. But let's get through the Major League Baseball card, as many games as we can get to, because there's a game this afternoon that's going to have the Detroit Tigers taking on the St. Louis Cardinals. Is this a doubleheader, I want to say? Or they move that doubleheader? Yes, it is a doubleheader. Game number 1, Kyle Gibson struggles on the mound against left-handed batters. Well, you got a couple of left-handed batters with some good numbers here in that game starting at 3:40 today. Riley Green busting up right-handed pitching. Wenzel Perez busting up right-handed pitching. Kerry Carpenter busting up right-handed pitching. So if you wanted to take Green, Perez, and or Carpenter, one of those guys, 3 of those guys, I think that does make some sense, because going up against Kyle Gibson, that looks like a pretty decent wager at this point here. Jack Flaherty on the opposite side, he's been average on both sides. I don't see any advantages here for the St. Louis Cardinals at the plate. So let's move it over to Baltimore and New York. Nestor Cortez on the mound today. Weighted on base percentage and ISO between lefty and righty batters, he's been good. Even though the Baltimore Orioles are stacked up and down that lineup, I'm not taking any Orioles tonight in that game. Dean Kramer will be on the mound. There is some action here that you might want to take against Kramer from a left-handed batter. That will be Juan Soto in the 2-hole, Anthony Rizzo in the 4-hole, Oswaldo Cabrero in the 6-hole. Now, granted, it's not great. 230 is a high ISO power number. I get that. But the weighted on base percentage is 312. So for me, taking a bet tonight, I don't know if I will, but keep in mind on this. Baltimore tonight, 80 degrees, 8-mile-an-hour winds blowing out to right field, which means left-handed batters pulling the baseball, they get a jump, though. I can't fault you for looking at any left-handed batters in the lineup tonight. That would be Cabrera, that would be Rizzo, and that would be Soto tonight. I think it makes a little bit of sense. Colorado and Miami tonight, 79 degrees in Miami. Now, granted, it's a dome sometimes. Sometimes they open it up, but we're not going to have to worry about any rainy conditions here. Feltner will be on the mound, but you take Feltner with a grain of salt tonight because he does pitch in Colorado. If you look at the ERA, it's close to 6, guys, but his xFIP minus number is 94, because I told you, takes into account the league and also the place that you play, or pitch in, I should say, and Feltner's pitching in some games in Colorado. That's why that number is low. So just for that alone, it's hard to back, or should I say fade, Colorado pitchers on the road, because it's not a fair indicativeness of what they've actually been doing. Sixto Sanchez doesn't have enough innings on the season for me to back anything up at this point here. Take a look at Steven Matz, who does have some bad numbers and a 119 xFIP minus today. But if we're lining this one up, he's a left-handed pitcher struggling against right-handed batters, but not giving up a lot of ISO power numbers. So I'll pass on Steven Matz today, even though he does have a high xFIP minus number. Matt Manning on the opposite side, pitching for Detroit in game number 2. ISO power number lefty is a little bit higher, but he does have some pretty good statistics against righties and also low weighted on base percentages combined. So that game's going to be a complete pass. Kansas City and Toronto tonight. Cole Reagans, if we take a look at his XFIP minus number, it's a 79. That's sensational. We'll be passing on any Toronto wagers tonight. Jose Berríos, great numbers with ISO and weighted on base percentages. We won't be taking a look or fading Jose Berríos all that much, even though he does have a 104 XFIP minus number, which is slightly elevated. Chicago Cubs and the New York Mets tonight. You take a look at Javier Assad. What's he got here? ISO power number combined between lefties and righties, an 086 and a 249. No thanks there. We're going to pass on Assad. Let me see if he has. He does have 20 innings. He's a 101 XFIP minus, so neither here nor there. Don't have any advantages either way. Sean Manea will be on the mound tonight. He's actually got, looks like a 114 XFIP minus number, but if we're taking a look at the peripherals, he does have very good ISO power and weighted on base percentages here. So we're not going to be backing any Chicago Cubs tonight. For the New York Mets, we're not going to back any there either. See how the process of elimination is pretty quick? Once you get the pitchers you want to fade out of the way with the numbers, and then you can line them up with the batters themselves. By the way, if you're fading Logan Webb tonight, good luck. Logan Webb is fifth on the card tonight with an 80 XFIP minus and absolutely filthy numbers with ISO power numbers and weighted on base percentage numbers. No Red Sox for me tonight. Going up against Cooper Criswell, doesn't have a lot of statistics, but it looks like he can be touched up by right-handed batters. I'm going to leave that one alone tonight, even though Terrio Estrada has some really good numbers against right-handed pitching this season. But nothing for me in that game. Tampa Bay and Milwaukee, Tyler Anderson's on the mound tonight, a fadeable pitcher at a 127 XFIP minus. He's a lefty, and he is getting torched by right-handed batters. Hello, Gary Sanchez. Maybe the only guy I would back today for the Milwaukee Brewers with a legitimate chance also of going deep. Let's close out the Major League Baseball card, hit that NBA slate tonight, and end this show with style next. Donnie Wright's out on a solo mission right here on a Tuesday edition of Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Who's enjoying their Tuesday afternoon right here on the Sports Grid Network? Teaching and learning is what we do. Put more money in your pocket. Have some fun. Learn some of these numbers yourself, and away you go, because we still got a long way to go in Major League Baseball season. Everybody's an expert, right? In college football, in NFL. You just want to hear different tangents and how they might go about their business. But baseball is that unique sport that is so numbers-driven, it can be overwhelming. As I equated it to the craps table, if you've never played craps before, you would walk up and look and be like, I don't want no part of this game. I don't care how fun you tell me that game is, it looks very intimidating to go to a casino and play that live. You learn that game, you will love that game. The same way with Major League Baseball handicapping. You learn those numbers, you will love that game here. Let's take a look at the Washington Nationals going up against the Texas Rangers. The reason I wanted to bring this game up is John Gray's a right-handed pitcher. He's faced, let's just see here, 109 batters on the season. 51 of those batters have been from the left-hand side. Take a look at his numbers against lefties here, guys. ISO 233 weighted on base percentage of 410. It's absolutely horrendous. But if we're lining him up against right-handed batters, he's been tremendous. So 25 eligible pitchers today on the card. John Gray is actually listed at 8th with an 82 XFIP minus number. Now, if you want to say to yourself, Donnie, how can I poke holes in that? Because I'm looking at a couple left-handed batters for the Washington Nationals that really could be profitable tonight. C.J. Abrams is hammering right-handed pitcher. He's a lefty. Jesse Winker, hammering right-handed pitcher. He is a lefty. How can I work those guys into the equation? So to be honest, if you wanted to get a deeper look and said, you know what, I don't really care how he does against right-handed batters and if he faces 6 or 7 of those tonight. Donnie, can we just focus on the lefties because he's been terrible? And some of the numbers that we'll look at today does focus on what XFIP numbers would be based on lefty and righty batters. So if we go to a website, again, like Fangraphs, and we say, okay, let me see how this works. You click on John Gray's name, it brings up a ton of statistics, which you can over game log, play log, and all that stuff. But I like to go down to the advanced statistics metrics here to try to take a look at. So then we hit splits, right? And it comes up and it gives you the splits because we don't care, again, what he's doing at all against right-handed batters. But theoretically, You really do, though, because if right-handed batters aren't getting on base, how can those left-handed batters drive them in? See how we sort of double down on that stuff? But let's just focus if we weren't looking in that direction. And maybe said, Donnie, I think he can hit a home run. I like him to go over 1.5 bases. If you look at left-handed batters on the season, weighted on base percentage against him, again, is a 413. But let's get a little bit more analytical here and take a look at those xFIP numbers. Versus lefties, it's still only a 393, which is elevated. Right-handed batters is a 288. So see how you can get down to some of those analytical numbers to try to drive that narrative through, because maybe he's getting just a little bit unlucky from the left-hand side at this point here. So for me, I wouldn't advise taking a left-handed batter up against John Gray, despite what those numbers actually would be. But I can't blame you guys, because this isn't an exact science. It really isn't. Like, lefties are getting over on John Gray, whether it be lucky or unlucky here. But if you told me, Donnie, he's bad against left-handed batters, I just want to take a couple lefties, man, I can't fault you for that. Maybe Abrams and Winker would be a good option tonight. But it's one of those that I probably be passing on, because we have 16 games tonight. And we didn't get through, you know, still got like 6 games on the board today. It's a shame we only have an hour to go over, because we could go all the way through. But just some of the gists of what we're looking at and how you actually make some of these numbers bend into shape for what your eye form looks like. You might tell me, or you might go through these, McKenna, Donnie, I respect you on what you like to look forward to there, but at the same time, I love to look at the Sierra number here for him, which is the skill interactive ERA, which brings into defense. I want to get the whole picture of the whole picture of that pitcher, as opposed to me. I don't care who plays defense behind the pitcher. You show me a guy that's giving up ground balls and that's getting out of the way and not giving up walks and has a high strikeout rate, I'm going to avoid that pitcher. But if you tell me again that xFIP number, my xFIP minus number is high, I'm fading you. That's why Michael Soroka is the worst pitcher on the card today. And a pitcher I'll be fading later on tonight is Tyler Anderson of the Angels. Even though he's a 1.78 ERA, he's due to get touched up. Due to get touched up. Just like yesterday, the big maple on the mound for the Los Angeles Dodgers. He had a very solid ERA. But by the end of what, 4 or 5 innings, he gave up 4 runs. So that handicap was correct, even though they didn't win the game and actually came up a little bit short on the team total 4.5 to get that plus money. That's just the way you have to iron things out. But Major League Baseball season, for me, just getting underway now. So I hope some of this hour helped you out on what I like to look at and some websites that I use. And again, always reach out to me at RightsideVP on X. I'm always more than willing and happy to help. And as many tickets as I can shoot out here in Major League Baseball season, I will shoot out. But enjoy your evening tonight. A stacked Major League Baseball card. Have some fun. Hopefully it's profitable. And also, my Philadelphia 76ers tonight. Can we play at least one more day, people? We'll find out at 7 p.m. in the Garden tonight. For JP behind the wheels of steel, Donnie Rightside, thank you for tuning in the Money Line. I will do it again tomorrow. Let's have some more fun. See ya.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.